come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I am Robbie Earhart, and the Mighty House all-women's team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. And not only is an all-women human being team, but we have Audie the puppy in here.
Yes. She's a girl.
She is a girl. And Ron doesn't let her in the studio, but you know what? So be it.
She's really quiet. She hasn't made a peep.
He says, oh, her nail's clicking.
Oh, so what?
Is that like such a typical guy thing? Her nails are clicking.
Well, Ron is a perfectionist about things. And,
You can't hear it. You can't hear it.
No, uh-uh.
He hears things that he's like, can you hear that? I'm like, no. I got nothing.
We are broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to them all at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. Follow us on the Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House, hashtag Mighty House. Give us a call at 847-475-1590, and you will have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They are all non-toxic and environmentally safe. Learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, so we are switching things up just a little bit.
Because we're flexible like that.
Because we're ladies and we can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, speaking of Mr. Floor and everything that you can win from Mr. Floor, we have Martha Loriano from Mr. Floor.
Hi.
Martha, are you all set up? This was a last second, you know, bring you in here, set you up, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm all set up and I'm really excited to be here this morning. Thanks for having me over.
You're welcome. So we usually have the guys from Mr. Floor here, so...
Yeah.
Tell us, we decided to have women in construction, and when Ron told me that you were going to be here, I said, well, is she like, you know, one of the salespeople? Is she, you know, one
what's
of the
her
managers?
Specialty?
And he said, no, she's out there.
We've been like finding each other's paths and how you got here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really interesting story to kind of let you know what my story is and how I actually got into the flooring industry. Right now, I'm currently working as a project manager for Mr. Floor, but my flooring career goes back to way in 2000.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show off.
Yeah.
I know. We're all 2007. She's got us by some serious
by 7 years. Yeah.
Well, I did take a 4-year break somewhere in between there. But yes, my career just started in 2000. I actually started as a customer service rep in a very well-known flooring installation company with a really cool jingle.
We all know their phone number.
Yeah. So I started there answering phones, and what I've noticed a lot in the phone call doing is that it was mostly the crews kind of calling with stuff that was going out in the field. So I've noticed that the customer service reps really didn't want to take an interest as to what was going on in the field. They didn't want to deal with the technicalities of the flooring installations. They don't want to deal with the troubles that go with it. They just didn't want to. So they would shove it off to, you know, the installation manager at the time. Well, for me, it was interesting because I was able to look at the paperwork, take a look at floor plans and see measures and that kind of thing. And I said, oh, wow, this is really cool. I want to learn what this is all about. So I started to analyze them on my downtime. I would take them with me to lunch, look at them, and see, you know, the material figures and square footage and how they came up with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what I started doing was asking the installation manager a lot of questions.
Yeah.
You know, why specific directions, why seam placement, why the wood floor should be installed in a certain direction.
Right, vertically or horizontally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she said, you know, out of all the people that have worked in this company, you have been the only one to take an interest in this type of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, the girls didn't want to deal with it. So as the crew started calling out in with situations, I was able to connect and understand.
Yeah. So they probably started funneling them to you.
They did. So the install manager loved it. So yeah. She took me under her wing and created the installation coordinator position for me.
Ah.
They didn't have it.
Yeah.
And within that position, she actually sent me off to a training course to learn how to measure, to learn how to figure out for material, square footage or mm-hmm. yardage, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be.
Can I just backtrack one second? Yeah. You said the installation manager.
Yes.
And she.
She.
Okay.
It was a she.
I wanted to clarify that.
I know.
It was a she.
I noticed that too.
It was
yeah.
a she. So within this position, I really learned a lot of the technicalities, you know, the behaviors of carpet, the behaviors of wood, why we shouldn't put too many cross seams in a specific spot, and mm-hmm. how carpet could actually look differently if you quarter turn it or install it in the wrong direction.
Right. The nap and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She would even take me out in the field to look at specific jobs that went wrong.
Mm. Oh, that's huge.
To show me right. why they went wrong.
Yeah, right.
And what could have happened to prevent it. Or if it, in fact, was some sort of manufacturing defect that right. was in the material.
Right.
And in some cases, that's what it was. And what I didn't know, that the entire time she was kind of grooming me and showing me and teaching me, is that she was teaching me all that so that I can take over her position as installation manager.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So did she move up?
She did. She moved up the ranks to operations.
Nice.
And she was really glad to give it up.
Yeah.
A lot of our crews were Hispanic and, you know, their English wasn't very well, and I could communicate with them
right.
being Spanish speaking. So it was a lot easier.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was a lot easier.
Yeah.
So, you know, my career kind of just took off from there. I took charge. I mean, they had 35-plus crews at the time, and I
wow.
dealt with all of them. I assigned their work.
Were they all male?
They were all male.
But they probably didn't have a problem dealing with you because you knew what you were talking about.
Absolutely.
And I think
Absolutely.
That is that's what saves every one of us, is if you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, like I said, you know, I would try to give them directive and they're like, no, it's wrong. And that's when I took the initiative to really learn. I wanted to know what I was talking about.
Right. Because you don't want to be wrong.
No, I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to look like a fool or give them the wrong decision to make. And, you know, you and I both know that some males would do what you're saying, even though they know it's wrong,
right,
just to kind
right,
of teach
just,
you a lesson.
Exactly.
Hey,
no,
I'm smarter,
you told me
right?
to do it this way.
Yes. So. Yeah. You know, like, it's like, oh, they're empowered. They want to beat their chest and say, see, I'm smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll do it. But, you know, I really learned it. And when they tried to say no, I was like, no. You're going to listen to me because I know what I'm telling
yeah.
you now. And they've learned to respect that a lot. You know, I would go out in the field and when they'd call in for shortages just because they were too lazy to create a couple extra seams.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. You have some material from here, some material from there. Get to the closet and start to seam it. Let's go.
Good for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the flooring industry a whole lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so that was your previous position. And then when did you switch over to Mr. Floor?
Oh, well, many years later, I was actually working for, this is the 4 years that I took a break
yeah.
out of the flooring industry. I was working for a uniform rental company as director of operations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great job. I mean, I loved it. I love the people I work with. But management was a little difficult. Yeah, it's a little too verbal, a little too vocal, you know, lacked professionalism, and his delivery was just terrible. It was terrible. It was a bit abusive. And you know, I realized then, it's like, you know what? I really miss, you
Isn't
know,
Isn't it
I
funny
really
how you
it.
Can miss flooring? No, I
yeah.
understand that because, like I said, I worked for Floor and Decor for a while.
Ah,
and
so you know.
Yeah, I walk in every place. I'm looking at the floor. I'm looking at the backsplash. I'm looking at the countertop.
Occupational hazards.
It is, yeah.
You find yourself doing that everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, even in here, I walked in, I said, oh, we did this floor. And I'm
right.
looking around.
Right,
it's like,
right.
it looks really good.
When you go to a restaurant and you go to the bathroom and I'm looking at the fixtures. And oh, look, it's a Kohler toilet. Oh, look, no, I'm mowing.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
And I'll look at the plumbing and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Who thought that was a good idea? Come on.
So while working at this company, I thought, you know what? I would really love to go back to flooring. I'd really like an opportunity to get back in there. And I ran across the position of Mr. Floor that they were hiring for a project manager. I said, great. At the time, I was working with a recruiter,
mm-hmm.
and she was working with me because she knew that I was looking to leave my position, so she kept contact with my previous company out of it. And she contacted the company's owner, Igor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she kind of set up the interview, sent him the resume, and, you know, we sat down, we had a really great interview. I got a really good feeling from Igor. He was very kind. He was very open to hear my situation,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it went great. I went back for a second interview, and that also went great. And because I was working through a recruiter, the official offer had to go through the recruiter.
Oh,
so, but I heard back from her that same day.
That's awesome.
Yes, that he was looking to bring me on, and he was pretty excited.
Eager's a great guy.
Absolutely a great guy. I enjoy working for him. I think that coming from an environment where my ex-boss wasn't so open to hear concerns or was just so out of line with any situation, it's nice to be able to talk to Igor and know that I'm not going to get that treatment. He's been very kind to me.
Yeah.
Or Felix, for that matter.
Oh, even more so.
I
love his jokes. I love his jokes, and I love to hear his story and how he started Mr. Floor. I'm really impressed by Felix with how he came to this
country.
You know
what?
We
are
going to
take a quick little break, and maybe you could tell us about that afterwards, and if you have your little 1 o'clock shot with him.
Yeah.
When we come back, we will continue to talk with Martha Loriani from Mr. Floor. I hope I pronounced that right. Give us a call, 847-475-1590. You are listening to
Mighty House.
You forgot.
You can do the next one.
Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor and Martha Loriani from Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We are broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to them all at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on the Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House, hashtag Mighty House. Newsletter sign up. You can go to MightyHouse.net, sign up for our newsletter so you will know who will be on every week. It's simple. It's easy. It's just a couple lines, really easy. Give us a call at 847-475-1590, and you will have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They are all non-toxic and environmentally safe. Learn more at MrFloor.com. And we have, again, Martha Loriani from Mr. Floor. Are you the only female installer at Mr. Floor?
So I am the only female project manager at Mr. Floor, yes. Yes,
I am.
Are
there female installers?
There are not.
Are there other females in the field?
So what's the difference between an installer and a project manager? Are you also going out?
Absolutely.
Installing?
With every project, it's my responsibility to see it through from beginning to end.
Oh. Also, so you're on site.
Oh, yeah. All day until quitting time, whenever that is. So, yeah, I'm on site, seeing the project through, making sure that industry standards are followed, that shortcuts aren't taken, that the final outcome is what Mr. Floor promises each and every customer to deliver.
How many project managers does Mr. Floor have?
There's three of us.
Three.
Just three.
So two guys, one gal.
That's right.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I think younger people do not seem to be getting into the industry like they used to. We need to do something to encourage not only the men, but the women, the boys and the girls to get involved.
Yeah.
Do you do any, I know the high school in my town, well, one of the high schools in my town, would do a career day where they'd bring people in to talk about what they do to the juniors and seniors because, there's so many jobs that exist that people don't even know that job exists. Nobody would know that a project manager what a project manager is, and that it could be a girl or a guy. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do on a daily basis?
So on a daily basis, I go on site with my crew. I survey the area. I remeasure just to ensure that materials are going to suffice
and adequate.
That we have enough are adequate. Absolutely. And to kind of get the crew started on the directive, get the customer's feedback on, what it is that they'd like, which direction they're looking to install and get a time frame and be able to kind of work out all these little details of the entry access and all that.
So you're the person that the homeowner is going to communicate with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So they're not talking to every single person on the job site.
Right.
Because how big are the crews? Two or three guys?
That's correct. Two or three guys, sometimes four, based on, the scope of work.
How big?
So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we would prefer that one person communicates with the client. We don't want the client to hear 10 different explanations on how we're going to do things and hear them conflict. Because, of course, then it gives them the impression that, oh, we don't know what we're doing.
Correct.
And then, of course, there's the language barrier. Some of our guys, while they speak English, it's not always clear. And,
right. Or they understand it better than they speak it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, they do.
That's how I am with Spanish. I understand it way better than I speak it.
Yeah. So, you know, I get the guys settled in. Make sure that all the technicalities are out of the way, meaning height differences, transitions, how we're going to go about it, that kind of thing. And I just kind of oversee and make sure that the guys are working on pace, on schedule, following industry standards as far as installation is concerned. Just kind of watching it, kind of babysitting it, making sure it goes through.
Do you go to more than one job site a day?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I can go anywhere from 1 to 7 job sites a day.
Wow. Really? 7?
Yeah. I mean, in our busy season when Mr. Floor's really jumping. Like,
when is that?
Now, like right around now. This is the time where everybody wants to do construction.
In August, right before the kids go back to school?
Absolutely. And because it's the weather for it, right?
Oh, so they want to get it done. You're not going to put new carpeting and new flooring in the winter when everyone's tracking everything.
That's right. Because I would I would think like maybe right before the holidays, it's the beginning of November and I've got people coming for Thanksgiving or Christmas. They're going to call you on like November 15th and say, okay, I need this done before Thanksgiving.
Right. Yes, that happens as well. I mean, right before the holidays is also a busy season because people want to impress the guests that they're coming to visit, right? So they want to kind of revamp their home, get some new furniture, work on the floors.
Right. You know, I just shampooed this carpet for the last time. Get this out of here. I want hardwood.
Yeah, or new carpet. I guess.
Do you do carpet too?
We do carpet.
Oh, see, I only thought you did hardwood and LVP, the luxury vinyl plank.
Yeah,
laminate.
We don't do a whole lot of carpet, because nowadays there's not such a high demand for it.
No, people don't
really want to do it. Not like way back in the 90s and other installation companies that was really in high demand.
It's because allergies, don't you think that's the biggest reason?
Oh, I think allergies? So, too. I do think so. Yeah.
I mean, now that we know that there's dust mites and all kinds of weird things growing, living in your carpet.
Right. Well, and I think maintenance as well. I mean, I have a friend who's, I'm going over there this afternoon. He's flipping his condo so that he can rent it out. He doesn't live here anymore. And he's talking carpet, and I'm like, no, because then every tenant that you have, you're going to have to replace the carpeting every time you get a new tenant in.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing I would expect want to see, and also the one thing that they can damage the easiest.
I was going to say, people never treat, especially if it's a rental property, they never treat it like it's their own. You know, wet towels just go on the floor. If they spill something, they just take their foot and rub over it.
Right.
And even worse, when renters are allowed to have pets and they don't take care of it, it's just a constant smell and a constant stain because these stains don't come out.
Nope. You try things like Knockout. Knockout works pretty good. It's an enzyme.
Yeah.
Now, what about career path at Mr. Floor? Is there, is it like one of my challenges is that the company's so small, there's really nowhere to go except ownership.
True.
What do you see at?
Well, I think that with the demand, positions can be created. There is room for growth. When I sat with Igor, you know, coming from an upper management position into just kind of being out in the field for change, you know, he did talk about that, you know, that there's room for growth and you know, production definitely can have their hands full. And in the future, I can certainly see a position being created to accommodate that growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't stay the same.
Right. As Mr. Floor continues to grow, they'll need upper management.
Sure.
Especially somebody who's got in the field experience, I would think, as well as the administrative side that you have.
Most certainly. I think with every company, as they grow, things need to change and grow with the process, right? So, you know, I think Igor will know when it's right to kind of evaluate whether it's time for it or not. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of leave that up to him.
And do you guys have daughters?
Yes.
I do. I do have a daughter who was living in Iowa. She went to the University of Iowa and decided to stay there after she graduated.
That's too bad. I went to Iowa State.
That's too bad.
You know, but she's my only child, and I can't tell you how much, you know, I've had emptiness syndrome for years.
Really? How old is she?
She's 25.
Oh.
Yeah. I would not have guessed that.
No. I get that a lot.
See, you're like me. You're 27 too, aren't you?
I'm 29, actually.
Oh, you're a little older than me.
Yeah, a little older. I'll accept that. I'm a lot older than I look, honestly. But my routine, you don't even want to know about it. What I go through every night just to make sure,
I take daily baths and all that. Actually, Neutrogena now. Yeah.
So yeah, she's my only, so Igor would know when it's time to kind of switch the company into a different gear.
Now, what is your daughter doing? Is she?
So she's working in her field. She had a bachelor in arts in graphic arts, and she's currently working in her field right now. Her fiance is a mechanical engineer, so he's also working in his field, and they're trying to get them to square on a date, but she won't give me one. They've been engaged for like 4 years now, awesome. So it's
Well, it's good they don't rush things.
No.
But, so I just wondered if she was like following your footsteps and going into the trades also.
That's kind of going to, yeah.
You know, she's not as assertive as I am. I think she's a little softer.
But she's creative.
She's incredibly creative.
Yeah.
And that's what she likes. That's what she enjoys. So, of course, as a parent, I'm going to encourage it. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say, give the phone number again, which is 847-475-1590. This is amazing. Women in construction, yeah. Women in management positions, women who are basically ruling the world. And if anybody has any question, not only for one of these ladies, we have Sherry, Lisa, and Martha. But you know what? What about Mr. Floor? What about, you were talking about pet stains?
Yeah.
What about if it gets into the hardwood flooring? Does it just have to be torn up?
Yes, it does.
It doesn't.
You have to replace it. Yes, you
really?
Do. Those pet stains do not come out.
The enzymes aren't working.
No.
And it gets into the subflooring too, doesn't it? That's
does.
Where that's the real problem is it gets into the subflooring.
And that's where the smell comes.
I was just in a house day before yesterday, and they had it torn down to the studs. To the studs.
Wow.
And we walked in, opened the door and walked in, and I went, cat. And it actually came out of my mouth. And I thought, oh, God, how rude of me. You know what I mean? But, oh, my God, it was like, you walked right into that smell. And there was nothing. Like, just the subfloor and the studs.
Yeah.
And you could still smell the cat.
Yeah, that's
And people don't know that their house smells.
No, they're immune to it for some reason.
They are.
They're immune to it. So.
Yeah, I have a client who has some puppies, and she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. And I walk in, and she has carpeting, and I just am like,
wow.
Yeah, yes. I tore at the carpeting in my family room 2-3 years ago.
Yeah,
and everything in the whole house smelled so much better because I tore it out and we put in the LVP, like what's in the studio here.
Yeah,
because I've got three geriatric dogs. The chocolate lab is 16, the Weimaraner's 15, and one summer they had puppies, and the puppy's 14.
Wow.
And so I'm like, I'm going to put the LVP in because if they have mistakes in the house, you know, it's so much easier to mop up and I don't have to yell at anybody and nobody has to feel bad about, you know, pooping in the house.
So is it something like it can be cleaned up right away, or just any accident on the floor is going to... ruin?
So any accident on the floor, and here's what I find is pretty common with accidents on the floor. Pets, knowing that they're doing something shameful, they tend to do it in spots where it's hiding out of the human eye, right?
True.
So you can be doing something else, and then suddenly a smell hits you, and you're out looking for it.
Yeah.
And by the time you find it, it's too late.
No, my cats, I have two female cats, and they're really funny because they will tattle on themselves because they'll stand next to the spot and scratch on the floor until I come and clean it.
Oh,
and if
bad.
I'm not paying
that's
attention,
bad.
They'll come over and get me, and then they'll go over and scratch the floor. So my cats are out constantly telling me when they have.
Yeah.
Now that's catty, isn't it?
So what could somebody do? I mean, it's that soon. What do you recommend that they try to clean it up with?
Well, I mean, Mr. Floor has their own brand of cleaners. Obviously, they should clean it up as quickly as they can. Don't let it soak into the pores of the wood.
Yeah.
Once it's
wood
in
is
there,
still breathing.
Absolutely.
It's a living.
But
yes.
The wood has a coating on it.
Yes, but over time, that coating kind of wears out. Right?
Can you replace that coating?
So you can sand the floors and start fresh, but still the stain, if it's in there, it's in there.
Mm.
You just can't get it out.
Martha, we're going to have you come back another time.
Sure, no problem. I'd love to come back.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. In the meantime, give us a call, 847-475-1590, and you can have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products.
Is
it too late to say you are listening to
Mighty House?
All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna find that stud finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590 and get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
All the women here know what a level is, and we are not talking video games. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com.
Thank you, Martha, for joining us from Mr. Floor.
Gosh, she had awesome energy, didn't she?
She was
did.
Great. Yep.
Yeah.
We
you can tell she's really enthusiastic about it.
Sorry.
Sorry.
We are broadcasting worldwide and live at mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. Look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcast or previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to them all at mightyhouse.net. Follow us on the Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House, hashtag Mighty House. Give us a call, 847-475-1590, and you will have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They are all non-toxic and environmentally safe. Learn more at mrfloor.net. The Small Business Advocacy Council, which is the SBAC, is a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that promotes the success of small business through political advocacy, networking, support services, and educational programs. The SBAC is dedicated to improving economic conditions for small to mid-sized businesses and being a voice for small business. For more information and to make a donation, visit their link at mightyhouse.net. Today, we are changing the title of the show. You know what? It's Mighty House, and we're talking about women in construction, but we've just decided at the break we're going to call it Strong Women in Construction. Strong,
I thought it was Badass. Strong Badass Women in Construction.
Oh, strong badass women in construction.
I like that.
I'd like that on a t-shirt, please.
All right.
Yes. Strong Badass Women in Construction. We are now joined by Angela Macy.
Hello.
You are a strong, badass woman.
She did. She had a strong
Thank you.
Too.
She did.
So did Martha.
I think that's what we talked about last time I was on.
Oh, yes. And not only are you a strong, badass woman in construction, but you're a young woman in construction.
Yay.
Yes. I'm
and
27.
Me too.
Unbelievable. Right. All of us.
Yeah.
You are 27, aren't you?
I am, in
I
my
know
head.
I we were going to be doing this, because I already admitted my age earlier. Yeah. Early
well, we did too, but it's in my head, I'm 27.
Angela, well, that's
you're
how
you're 27, you're an electrician.
Yes.
I'm an electrician.
You own your own company.
Yes.
And you are also a trainer. I mean, Ron met you at a training class,
didn't
he?
I teach Chicago Electrical Code classes with Bill Detmer at CLEC Enterprises. So we do that. Our next class starts at the end of August and goes through till right before everybody goes to take the test in November. And then we do it again in March through to May before the second test.
At 27 years old.
Yes.
So did you have a family member who was an electrician? Or
my dad and a bunch of cousins. My dad's cousins.
That's cool. Yeah. It seems to me like the young people who get into the trades now have a family member in the trades, because otherwise, you know, they just think.
Well,
oh.
I think some trades, particularly, are generational,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
If
a
you have
plumbers,
a fireman, you know, police, plumbers, electricians,
right.
But it's fantastic to see father to daughter,
yeah,
which is really exciting.
I really like it. You know, it's challenging mentally and physically. It's something that most people don't get to experience, and I'm really lucky that I got into it when I did, because I didn't end up wasting, you know, time going to college just because I felt like it. Right. I did get my associate's degree, but I didn't feel the need to go get a...
Yeah, the countertop, you know, is grabbing this.
Sorry. no, I didn't feel the need to go to a four-year college just to do it.
Right,
you know?
Right. You just got... And that's the thing about working in the trades is that, yeah, you know, you can do an apprenticeship, but you don't have to spend
right.
4 years in college. You can get right in and start making money instead of building up
Absolutely.
All that debt.
And yeah. that was going to be part of my tip of the week this week, was to talk about, you know, how to get, you know, how to avoid those college costs. I've been talking to my 10 nieces and nephews that, you know, going to college isn't necessarily the right path, particularly, you know, as we look at, as we move towards automation and things. An electrician's going to always need to be an electrician. A
yeah.
solar installer will always be on the roof.
You
These
have to
are
have
jobs
a plumber.
That
yeah.
have a future.
Absolutely. Yeah. My brothers and sisters are in college right now. My brother's going to be an electrical engineer. So is my youngest brother. And my sister's going for graphic design. And that's something that they want to do.
Right.
But there's a lot of kids that, you know, graduate high
and
school and they feel like their only choice is to go to college.
Right. right. They don't know that there's another choice.
We really need young people to be getting into the trades, because it's not being encouraged, and we're going to have a real problem in, you know,
we really
10
are.
Years from now.
Right.
And now, what was your formal training? You said you...
I trained under my dad,
okay.
And the employees that he had, they all taught me everything I know, and I took a few code classes with Bill Detmer before we decided to go forward and start the Chicago classes.
Mentioned him already.
Yes.
Who is he?
Bill is the electrical inspector in Bartlett. He's a good friend of mine. He has been teaching classes for Woodstock for the electrical license for years, And once I took his class and I wanted to get my Chicago license, I asked him if he taught a Chicago class, and he didn't. So together, we kind of started just helping me study and get through taking the Chicago test, which is one of the hardest tests anyone can ever take. And so I went through and took that, failed my first time, and then we decided to see if anybody else would be interested in taking a Chicago class. And so we just started the class, and that the second time I passed, and we just have gone on from there. Now Bill has a company that we teach Woodstock, Chicago. We do some plumbing classes and some continuing education classes for engineers and stuff like that.
Is there a direct path? Like, you know, you said you studied with your father and his employees. Is that typical? I mean, is there another, like, is that how anybody would want to do it? No. Is that the only way to do it?
What? I think nowadays your best bet is if there's anybody that is interested in getting into any kind of construction field, to definitely check out the apprenticeship program.
It's a formal
at the IBEW?
Yes.
Or? Okay.
Yes. And I believe there are some non-union, like trade schools that you can join. I'm more familiar with IBEW. And for me, I just, you know, started working for my dad out of high school, just driving material around to jobs, and then just kind of progressed from there, just learning more and more because I was interested and, you know, started running jobs and, you know, bidding stuff, and just it's gone on from there.
Now, for people on Sherry's track, for people who don't necessarily have any exposure, you know, can you just go to the trade school and start with, I don't know the difference between a Phillips head and a flathead screwdriver, or do you need to,
ACDC, yeah.
or do you need to kind of self-educate and try to play a little catch up? Because I think a lot of people might not enter a trade because they have zero familiarity with it. You know, and feel like, well, I can't do that because I don't know the terminology,
I
don't even know where to begin. Yeah. It's over my head.
No, I believe that there's, you know, some basic testing that you have to do. Most of it's just like basic high school math and, you know, just very, very minor stuff. And they teach you everything that you need to know.
And you said that you do have an associate's degree. So when you went to the community college, what classes did you take? What is your degree in?
I believe mine was in fine arts because I took Spanish. So that was considered an art. It was basically either I take Spanish or I take one extra math class. And I was really into Spanish. So that's my degree. It was basically just
to do it.
So that you had a degree.
Yeah. It was just something to do.
So, I mean, yeah, you could take like a business degree, business management.
Right. If I ever decided, you know, at that point I had said, okay, I'm going to be an electrician. But before that, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went to McHenry County College and got my associate's so that once I did figure out what I wanted to do, I could at least have that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So then is your day-to-day, you're actually in the field, you've got a hard hat, you're actually wiring a sub-panel.
Yes. Yes, I'm in the field. We do mostly gas station installations. So we're running all the conduit for your gas pumps, you know, the underground tanks and, you know, all the canopy lights. We do mostly gas stations.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. Do you do residential or commercial or?
Mostly commercial.
You know what? We have a phone call. Someone from Manhattan wants to talk about women in construction. Can we interrupt you for just 1 second?
Absolutely.
Okay. Caller?
I'm only able to get you down here in Manhattan somewhere around 9 o'clock. I picked you up this morning about 10 to 8, the tail end of a conversation with a woman. I can't remember her name. Might have been Allison or something.
Yeah, Allison.
But I wanted to corroborate what the tone of what she said. There are just certain situations, certain occupations where I automatically give women more trust than I do men. And it's for a variety of reasons, one of them being, of course, that male aggressiveness, I'm, you know, smarter than you, that sort of stuff. And then subsequently, some of the ladies there, they started using words like mansplaining. I got to check on that. I know exactly. I'm not a wuss or anything. It's just the truth. Experience has taught me, has forced me to trust women in to be more ethical, too. Another word that was in the conversation was slipshoddiness, or a word, a synonym for it. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I have seen that in men all my life. Maybe if I saw more women, had more experience with women in the trades, maybe I'd see it with them too. But I just haven't seen it. In my occupation as a teacher, I've rubbed shoulders with women for decades. You can't keep up a lie that long. So I was getting an honest read on women in that regard, and I just think that they tend to be more thorough, maybe, or more ethical in some ways than men. Now, Ron and Rich, I've been listening to them for years and years. They know that I trust them. I've told them that. Yeah. They've earned my trust. But I wish I could find women. I want to build a house. You know, Rich and Ron and Robbie have heard my story, and Trixie too. I think I have found a builder who is ethical and thorough. And but if I were starting over again, and I had 10 builder designers standing in front of me, and half of them were women, I'd be an interview on the female end of the.
That's awesome.
We might have your crew right here. So yeah. There you go. Allison will build your house.
Yeah, you know,
Cheryl
what?
Will handle
the
interior.
Plumbing and the cabinets. Yeah.
We're going to have to cut you off, Fran. I'm sorry, because we are taking a break. Thank you so much for calling. Give us a call, anybody else, at 847-475-1590. You're listening to
this
Mighty House.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Here we go. We have so much to get into the show today. It's unbelievable. So we're going really fast. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Fleur. For more information, check them out at MrFleur.com. We are broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net. TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts or preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to them all at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on the Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House, hashtag Mighty House. Newsletter sign up on MightyHouse.net. Give us a call at 847-475-1590, and you will have a chance to win some Mr. Fleur cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. Learn more at MrFleur.com. We are keeping Angela Macy with us. She is awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
So if you still have any electrical questions, you know what? Feel free to give her a call. We missed the tip of the week, and we have clutter clarity. So we're going to get it all in. Angela, tip of the week. And clutter clarity, we can do this because you know what?
We're women.
Yeah.
We're women.
Okay, Sparky.
Okay, so really quickly, I am Lisa Albrecht, and I actually work in the solar industry. Mm-hmm. I have for 10 years. I'm one of there's not a ton of us on the construction side, more on the policy side. But I wanted to talk about the path forward. So if somebody is interested in getting into it, it's actually really quite simple. There's a lot of online tools. We were talking earlier, and oh my gosh, I just completely spaced on your name. Martha was already here.
Angela.
Thank you. And Angela was talking about how she got into the trades through her father. I actually didn't have a lot of exposure other than, you know, home improvements with my dad. So there are some really great resources. If you go to, for example, I studied online. I took a class called Solar Energy International. It's SEI. If you look that up, you can find a lot of training courses that are available, including some really basic. So if you don't know anything, you don't know the terminology, All of that's really out there, and then they step you through. The goal there is to get you certified so that you can take what's called NABCEP. So it's kind of the union equivalent of training and certification to show that you know what you're doing, and that's the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners, which is NABCEP.org. The end goal is that you'd want to get certified, and there's a couple of different paths of certification. I have certification in PV technical sales, which is a stepping stone. I am not certified as an installer. So depending on what it is that you want to do, you can go out there and get various certifications. One of the things that impresses me so much about the solar industry is the opportunities for women. There is an organization called Grid Alternatives. They do a lot of on-site training, and every year they do a totally female crew where they do training classes out in Colorado. It's only women. You're on the crew. You're standing on the roof. You're in the electrical room. You're doing the wiring. You're doing everything. There are no men on site. There's no intimidation. You get the opportunity to ask as many questions that you want to. You may have felt intimidated to look at that. And that is Grid Alternatives, co-founded by women. I wish we had a couple seconds just to go through the number of women that are in top leadership roles. But solar is definitely something that there are tons and tons of opportunities, and the career path is really easy. And I can put some things out on the Mighty House website to give you some links that folks could travel or could click on if they wanted to.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much. You know what? I want to give a shout out to Ron Cowgill and Rich Cowgill really quickly, because they have welcomed me with open arms. I know nothing about construction. I know nothing about remodeling, building. I was in advertising sales when I started, and they didn't look at me and say, uh-oh, this woman knows absolutely nothing. They said, you know what? This is great that this woman knows nothing, because not only are we going to teach her, but she is going to help everybody else along the way. So it'll make our lives not easier, not better, but it will enhance the radio show. And so thank you to Ron. Thank you to Rich for welcoming women. Thank you very much.
They did. All right. They put us all here in the same room together.
So that's the week. I think we're ready for Clutter Clarity.
We are ready for Clutter Clarity. All right. Who's going to sing the song?
All of us.
All of us. Yeah.
Yay!
So I don't know the words again.
If you don't know the words, Angela, you can just hum with us.
I'll just hum.
All right. We need a little louder. We are jamming today. Come on.
Woo! Come and sing with us, Mimi.
We need Facebook Live now.
Save me from this prison.
Mimi's coming in.
Lord, help me to get away.
I'll false start.
Cause only you can save me now from this misery.
Mimi, come on in.
I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? I know that I need to change my way of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
Nice.
Woo!
Ladies. All right. For Clutter Clarity.
There isn't that much group participation normally on a Saturday.
It's okay. For Clutter Clarity today, we have Sherry, who some would call the anti-Robbie. You have two minutes.
I'm the anti-Robbie. Okay. So earlier in the week, Rich Cowgill and I, co-host Rich Cowgill, and I were talking about what the Clutter Clarity tip could be. And, you know, he said that you guys had already covered purses. And, you know, I'm the queen of clutter in my house. But my purse is a tiny little purse. And I found that, like, a tiny little purse keeps me from keeping too much crap. So small purse, that's one way to do that. Yep, mm-hmm. See? Look, Lisa too. And but one of the things that Rich mentioned was that he had just read something about 40 days to declutter. So I researched it, and it's 40 bags in 40 days, and there's a Facebook page. And, you know, since I don't have Robbie living with me.
You could. One week at a time.
God, I might have a problem.
I thought I'd check this out. So it seems like they've got a way to help somebody like me who looks at it all and goes, I am so overwhelmed, I don't know where to start. So there's a Facebook page. They've got, like, printouts that help you. You're just going to do, you know, pick one section of the house to work on at a time. And in 40 days, you're going to get rid of 40 bags. It could be, like, one of your bags could be a couch, you know, That could be a big item. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try this. Now, this particular website, whitehouseblackshutter.com, that's the person who started it. But she does it like in conjunction with Lent every year.
Oh.
But I can't wait. I can't wait till next year. I need to start today. So I'm going to do it.
A really good friend of mine did that, primarily because they were getting overwhelmed with the toys. And so she engaged her kids into the process, too. And so they did a bag a day, and they specifically like called out like, oh, today, let's grab toys that we're going to give to this nursery school. So which toys do we want to pick out for the nursery school that we think other kids will have fun playing with that we're probably tired of now? And so she really made it a game.
Yeah.
And then she wasn't completely, you know, she didn't have to do it by herself.
Right.
She engaged the kids. So there was no crying about, well, I don't want to give that toy away.
Yeah, why didn't you give my stuff away?
Right, exactly. So they got them, but the kids were excited because she'd drive past these nursery schools and see kids playing on the playground. And so the kids could associate. And they're like, oh, you know what? There's a little girl who always sits in the corner, you know, and so they were picking out kids and stuff that they could then give away elsewhere. So there's other ways to engage parts of the family.
Somebody needs some of my books.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's also another one. It's for 30 days. The first day you give away one thing, the second day, two things, third day, three things. Can you imagine? Now we'd have to have somebody help us with math. By the 30th day, how much would you have given away?
Yeah, wow. That's a lot.
I bet the electrician in the room would be
30 with the exclamation point on it. On your
calculator. You know, my biggest problem though is paper. Like, if you ever hear that I have drowned in a sea of papers, believe it, because like, there's just paper, and
it keeps coming in,
and some of it you need, but you don't need right now.
So you might need in the distant future. You never know.
That's it, exactly. So I hold on to it until I know I don't need it, and then I get rid of it.
Yeah. Angela Macy, I'm going to thank you again so much for coming in. ANGelectric.net
yes.
is the website. ANGelectric.net. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back. You are listening to
Mighty House.